Good morning, Matthew. I'm Cal Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Thursday, August 6, 2026. Here is your weather for Dodge County, MN. Today, a high near 79 degrees, patchy fog then sunny. Tonight, a low near 60 degrees, slight chance showers and thunderstorms. Now for Cal's market read. Overnight, corn steady, and beans slipped about 2 cents. Recent trend, over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have eased. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why the board moved the way it did overnight. And honestly, the headlines do not point to one clean cause. Corn held steady and beans slipped about 2 cents. With no USDA report on the calendar to swing things, our best assessment is this is quiet. Position squaring trade tied to the Senate Ag Committee taking up its 5-year farm bill this Thursday, per AgriPulse. Alongside the global shipping snags moving grain through Port Duluth Superior, per Tri, state neighbor, neither is a hard mover, so we would not read much into 2 cents. Stocks are steady going into the open, S&P futures close to flat. A calm Wall Street is what your banker likes to see. It keeps the rate and input cost backdrop behind your operating note quiet for another day. Now, here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. ISA applauds Senate Ag Committee's commitment to advancing 5-year farm bill. The Senate Agriculture Committee, led by Chairman Boozman, is advancing a 5-year farm bill that the Iowa Soybean Association praises for 3 big wins: permanent year-round E15 sales, stronger MAP and FMD export programs, and reauthorization of the bio-preferred program. ISA says these provisions matter now more than ever, with agriculture under extreme financial strain from years of losses, record high input costs, and stubborn inflation. Year-round E15 would create fresh demand for soybean-based biofuels. The export programs would open new foreign markets, and bio-preferred would drive new domestic uses that squeeze more value from every bushel. The bill is far from final, but ISA is urging Congress to move quickly to give Iowa farmers the market certainty and policy stability they need to stay competitive. Story 2. Senate Ag Committee to debate farm bill with over 200 amendments. Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Boozman is racing to push his farm bill through committee this Thursday, calling it a now-or-never moment before lawmakers scatter to campaign for the November 3 midterms. More than 200 amendments have piled up, including Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley's push to crack down on anti-competitive meat packers and a fight over cuts to USDA conservation programs. While a partisan standoff over SNAP food aid costs threatens to sink the whole effort, for corn growers, the good news is the bill would allow year-round sales of E15 higher ethanol fuel, a top priority backed by both parties. Boozman says the legislation carries over 100 bipartisan measures and would finally update programs like farm loan limits that have been frozen since 2018. So the vote count on Thursday will show who really backs farmers. Story 3. 250-plus agriculture groups call for bipartisan Senate farm bill. More than 250 food and agriculture organizations, rallied by the American Farm Bureau, sent a letter today pressing the Senate Agriculture Committee to move a bipartisan farm bill forward. They are pushing for the Agricultural Act of 2026, a full 5-year bill, noting that farmers have gone nearly 10 years without a new one and have limped along on outdated 2018 policy and patchwork ad hoc support. The letter points out real momentum. Since the House already passed its own version, the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2026, marking the first full House passage of a farm bill since 2018. The groups call this the closest the country has come to a modernized farm bill, and they argue that families who depend on American food, fiber, and fuel deserve action now. Story 4. A few things to know about forage nitrates. High nitrate levels in this year's stressed forages can make animals abort or drop dead, so silage and late hay season is the moment to pay attention. Trouble builds when frost, hail, drought, or cold below 55°F stalls the plant's ability to turn nitrate into protein, and warning signs include chocolate-colored blood, blue skin, labored breathing, and staggering, at which point you call the vet right away. Since nitrate collects in the lower stalk, cutting higher helps, and then siling for at least 21 days cuts nitrates by 40-60%, though no method is guaranteed safe, so any suspect feed should be tested before it hits the bunk. When a test comes back hot, blend high with low nitrate feed, feed the clean stuff first, add high energy grain, and build tolerance slowly so rumen microbes can keep up. Story 5. Shipping reflects global turmoil. Wisconsin grain reaches world markets through a chain of trucks, trains, barges and ships that pass through Port Duluth Superior, the largest seaport on the Great Lakes, where vessels queue at the locks in Sault Ste. Marie to be raised or lowered between lakes. The port moves grain alongside taconite iron pellets bound for steel mills, and it hosts giants like the Laker Paul R. Tregurtha, which stretches 1,013.5 feet and carries 68,000 gross tons. In recent years, many grain elevators in the port have sat idle as shipments have fallen, with foreign flag carriers like the Federal Seto loading grain while world events and domestic policy shape how much moves through during the early 2026 Great Lakes season. It matters to you because the same global demand and trade forces steering these ships help set the price you get for your corn and soybeans. And the writer, retired Wisconsin educator and soldier Jason Maloney, reminds us that shipping predictions often miss because so many factors are in play. Story 6. U.S. Senate candidates exchange political jabs during FarmFest Forum. At FarmFest on August 5, U.S. Senate candidates clashed ahead of the August 11 primary to fill Tina Smith's seat, with DFL contenders Angie Craig and Peggy Flanagan facing off separately from Republicans Michelle Tafoya and Royce White, while GOP endorsed Adam Schwarza skipped the event for failing to hit the 15% polling threshold. All agreed on backing biofuels and opposing California's Prop 12 pork law, but they split hard on tariffs, with Craig and Flanagan slamming Trump's tariffs as bad for farm stability while Tafoya and White defended them as leverage against other nations. The candidates also traded sharp jabs over farm labor, SNAP cuts, and data centers eating up farmland, with White demanding mass deportations of what he called 15 to 20 million people and Flanagan warning that AI billionaires like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are the real winners from big tech projects. With early voting already underway, this fiery forum is your preview of the two very different visions battling for Minnesota's open Senate seat, and it is worth the full read to see exactly where each candidate stands on the issues hitting your farm. Story 7. Purdue Report. Farm succession now ranks among agriculture's biggest long-term challenges. Purdue's July Ag Economy Barometer jumped 13 points to 126 as a midsummer bounce in corn and soybean prices lifted farmer confidence. But the same survey found 17% of producers now rank farm transition as their second biggest long-term worry, trailing only commodity prices. Dr. Michael Langemeyer of Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture says passing down today's capital-heavy operations is tough because larger farms often span multiple generations and operators, all wrestling with big land values, equipment costs, and equity splits. He warns that families tend to procrastinate because daily chores eat up all their time, and he urges them to set a clear timeline for when the older generation will scale back. Plus arrangements so off-farm heirs rent their ground back to the family instead of shrinking the operation. Langemeyer's bottom line is to divide up management duties now, name a point person for finances and marketing with a backup plan, and think hard about what skills younger members should study in college to fill the gaps the farm will face. Story 8. Crop conditions hold strong as disease pressure builds. Indiana's corn and soybean crops are holding up in good shape through grain fill and pod development, but a warm, humid, rainy stretch has crop scouts on high alert for diseases harvest approaches. Purdue corn specialist Dan Quinn says to watch for frog eye leaf spot, Septoria brown spot, sudden death syndrome, brown stem rot, and especially red crown rot, which shows up as early infections at the soil line and telltale intervenal chlorosis that you will miss unless you look low in the canopy. On the soybean side, Purdue specialist Sean Castile reports crazy top tied to flooding plus a surprising uptick in bacterial leaf streak, a hard-to-treat problem that farmers in Illinois and Iowa can easily mistake for gray leaf spot. Both experts stress that steady field scouting and smart fungicide planning for next season are your best bet to protect yield as the crop pushes toward maturity. Story 9. Video of the week. Tinkering with fertilizer placement in no-till. Wisconsin no-tiller Jim Leverich shared with Frank Lessiter how he once welded a quarter-inch anhydrous tube onto his planter's firming point to place fertilizer under the seed instead of on top of it. After running side-by-side tests, he found that fertilizer consistently added 7 to 12 bushels per acre, which is a real bump worth chasing. In the end, though, Leverich abandoned that in-furrow setup because he got the same results by putting nitrogen and sulfur in a 2x0 band, and cutting the in-row 10 to 34 to 0 carried too much risk for too little gain. The takeaway for your own operation is simple. Sometimes the easier, lower risk placement pays off just as well as the fancier rig. and this Conservation Ag Update video walks through the whole story. Story 10, No-Till Highlights, August 6, 2026. This week's No-Till Farmer Roundup gathers standout stories from across the web, from Michigan's Kip Siegler juggling wheat, hay, corn, soybeans and nearly 200 dairy cows, to North Dakota's Phil and Ali Fott explaining why they turned to no-till and conservation. Gearheads will want to see the brand new John Deere 8RX440, now landing at dealers. Filmed planting double crop soybeans alongside a 9RX640 in western Kentucky. The headline conversation features Kelly Garrett and Iowa's Loeb Rangers, Matt Borman, Zach Smith and James Hepp, pushing regenerative farming's third stage by slashing synthetic nitrogen and phosphorus while holding yield, leaning on Iowa State nitrate research and the new 45Z tax credit. And they stress this is a business decision that boosts return on investment first, with environmental wins as a bonus. The piece wraps with a Soil Strategies podcast where Roy Thompson sits down with regenerative pioneer Gabe Brown on working with Mother Nature instead of against her. And now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. The auctioneer at the local sale knew every farmer by first name. A visitor said, "That's impressive." The auctioneer said, "It's not impressive. It's how I get paid. I know who's bidding before they raise the hand." Here is Cal's quiz. Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species in what year? A. 1809. B. 1859. C. 1866. D. 1900. And the answer 1859. November 24th. The book underlay all modern plant and animal breeding, including Mendel's 1866 P. Genetics rediscovered in 1900. Which made hybrid corn possible. Source: Smithsonian Institution, American Society of Agronomy Historical Review. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields, and thanks for letting MI Farm AI ride along this morning.